I want you to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 5. Exodus, chapter 5. I'm going to read some verses from the opening part of the chapter, but I want to go back just a little bit into chapter 4 and get the connection from verse 27. Let's read the Word of God. Chapter 4, verse 27, onwards then into the fifth chapter, down to verse 5 of that chapter. And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." May God bless his word as we find it in this passage of scripture tonight and have read it together. We'll have a brief word of prayer. Almighty God and gracious Father, as we come to the closing minutes of this service, we beseech thee earnestly that thou will come very near. Come near in the word. Make it live in our hearts. Give us understanding. Make the necessary application to every waiting heart. We've come to this house tonight, Lord. We believe in your will, in your providence. You have us sitting here together to listen to your word. And we believe that you have a message for us all. We believe that there is a particular application to those who are without Christ in this service, to those who are listening in on sermon audio. And Lord, as we preach your word this evening, we pray for that fresh baptism of power from on high, that we might speak as the prophets of old spoke, "Thus saith the Lord." We thank thee that we have a message from God. We thank thee for the message of this book. In this volume, God has revealed himself. He has shown himself in relationship to man, and he has shown how we can be reconciled to him. O Lord, speak to our hearts now and give us the help that we need to bring the message. Bless every similar gathering, very conscious that young Joshua is preaching just now there in Port of Ogie. Bless his ministry. Use it for your glory. Bless your word throughout the province, throughout the United Kingdom for that matter. In Jesus' name, amen. The second verse of chapter 5, I want to draw your attention particularly to this verse this evening and speak on the subject, Pharaoh's arrogant response to God. And this is how he responded. Verse 2, Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Moses is called by God to be Israel's deliverer, to lead them out of Egypt after the death of Joseph, who was prime minister in the land of Egypt, and the death of Pharaoh, that Pharaoh who was kindly disposed to the family of Jacob. We read in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8 that there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Now the children of Israel had multiplied. They had become a great number in this land. The previous verse, verse 7 of chapter 1, tells us how that they were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. They were put to hard labor, afflicted, and made to serve with vigor. Verse 14 of that chapter, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Out of anguish of heart and despair, they cried unto the Lord. And so we have those wonderful verses at the end of chapter 2. In verse 23, it came to pass, in the process of time, that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Moses, therefore, is raised and commissioned by God to be that chosen instrument in the divine hand to deliver his people from their hard labor and bondage. He goes to the Egyptian palace with his brother Aaron, bearing the message from God that we read tonight in verse 1 of chapter 5. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Now God demands obedience from all his creatures, even this proud, hard-hearted king. But the response to the word of God was not favorable. Indeed, in the words of our text, this king, Pharaoh, he says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." As I read this passage of Scripture, I am reminded tonight that God is still looking for obedience from men today. Even men who disown him, reject him, deny him, refuse to recognize him. He has commands for the sinner, and he has commands for the saint. In the volume of this book, the book of God, he has a word for the sinner, and he has a word for God's people, and he expects us to obey. Don't harden your heart like this king did. Don't shut God out of your life. Don't disobey his word, because it will be to your cost. And if you're not saved, it will be to your eternal cost. As God gives his commandments, and we'll come to see some of those commands tonight for you, don't you reject them, but rather obey them. If you're not saved, you come to trust in him. I want you to think about the response of this man to the command of God. And I want to make some application to your heart tonight, especially those among us who are not saved. I want you to notice, first of all, looking at our text here, it's verse 2 of Exodus chapter 5, the question of this king. You want to mark it there in the Scripture. He asks the question, "Who is the Lord?" The word there being Jehovah, as you probably know now, with our series in the Jehovah titles. Who is this Jehovah? Who is this Lord that you are speaking about, Moses? It's a very searching question. It's even a very sensible question if Pharaoh only realized it. And I want to ask the question of the king tonight. I want to put this question to you and I. Who is the Lord? And I want to tell you who he is tonight. I want you to notice some things that the scripture has revealed who Jehovah is. He's first of all the creator. He is the one who has called this universe into existence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Levites in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6 had something to say about this, to say about this creator, this Jehovah God. If you read that ninth chapter, it's a time of great revival. Thank God for revival. Revival is real. It came in Old Testament times. It came in Nehemiah's time. And off this particular day of which we read in Nehemiah chapter 9, God is moving. He's moving in the hearts of the people in such power that they spend, the Bible tells us, a quarter of a day reading the Word of God, the law of God. And then they spend another quarter of the day worshiping God and repenting of their sin. And God is moving. We think of this whole time that is spent before the Lord in the hearing of the word and in prayer unto God. And the Levites have something to say. And as they begin to say what they did have to say, they speak about the Lord as the creator. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. Pharaoh, you are asking a very important question about a very important person. Do you not know that he is the creator? The creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the maker of all things. And Pharaoh, he made you. He made you. God called this world into existence. As the hymn writer said, each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, he made their glowing colors, he made their tiny wings, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful. The Lord God made them all. He's the creator. Who is the Lord? He is the sustainer. He is the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. He has given us life. He's the life-giving God. In him we live and we move and we have our being. We are alive today for one simple reason. God has given us breath in our bodies. He upholds us. He sustains us. He has given us the breath of our bodies. Pharaoh, do you not realize that God has granted you life itself? You've lived all these years without him, refusing to acknowledge his existence, but he is the very God who has given you existence. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, it was God that gave you life right there in the belly of your mother. When you were born into this world, you lived. You didn't die. So many in Bible times died, and so many still, especially in the underdeveloped parts of the world, die when they're born. And through these years, God has allowed you to exist, Pharaoh. God has sustained you. God has kept you. Because he's not only the creator, he is the sustainer. Who is the Lord? He is the discerner. One who knows all things. The all-knowing God. Nothing escapes his attention. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is concealed from the Almighty. The psalmist said, great is our Lord and of great power. his understanding is infinite. Infinite. It is without measure, the understanding of God. John declared in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Solomon said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees all that occurs in every place, and he keeps watch over all. He sees us now, right now in this service. He sees our hearts. He sees the thoughts of our minds. He sees the attitudes that we have right now as God looks upon us. Pharaoh, he knows you through and through. Every evil thought, he knows your hard heart. He knows your wicked imaginations. He knows the deeds of carnality. He knows all about your oppression. He knows your treatment of his people. He knows the tyranny and the dictatorship of your kingdom, the bondage, the servitude, and the hard labor that you've put his people to. He knows your innermost secrets. He knows the works of darkness. There's nothing that he doesn't know. And my friends, God knows all about you too. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. He knows your works. He knows your thoughts. He knows your words. He knows your sins, every one of them. You can't hide from God. He knows what you're thinking in your heart. He knows your life from birth to death. He knows your eternity. My, if you're without the Lord in this meeting, he knows where you're going, down to the darkness of a lost eternity. I only wish that you knew it tonight, that you had this knowledge of God, that you discerned where you're heading forever, for all eternity. We can all confess tonight, as Hagar did, now God seest me. Because you see, this God, this Lord God Jehovah, he is the discerner, the one who knows. He's the promoter. You know, the Bible tells us that promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. The word there in the original may indicate south and north. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. You look throughout this world, there's not a kingdom or a crown or a sovereign, king or queen, prime minister in this world, but God has promoted that person. He's allowed that person to come to power. Yes, even in the ungodly nations of this world, including our own nation, which is ungodly. Pharaoh, you have position. You have power. You have authority. You have a kingdom. Where did it come from? God permitted it. God Almighty put you on the throne. Do you want to know who he is? He's the one that has promoted you, elevated you to such a position. What a responsibility that is. And then he's the lawgiver. God has given his law, his rules to govern man's life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Pharaoh, you have your kingdom, you have your authority, you have your laws, but there's a greater kingdom. There are higher laws. There is sovereign authority. You're asking the question, who is the Lord? I want to tell you, he's the lawgiver. Do you respect his law? He's also the arbiter or the judge of the world, of all men. God is holy. And this holy God is the God who hates sin. And the God who has decreed in his word that one day he will punish sin. And so therefore it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, there is an after this, after death. And what is it? It's the judgment when the great judge of all the world will sit upon the throne. There is a day of reckoning, a day when all men will be summoned to the judgment bower, a day when the books of God are going to be opened. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. Peter speaks about the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Jude speaks of how the Lord is coming to execute judgment upon all men. Pharaoh, you're asking the question, who is the Lord? He's the judge of all the earth. And one day, you, Pharaoh, will be summoned to stand before him. One day, you will give an account. You must face the judge. And so will you, my friend, in this meeting. For he's your judge also. He's also the Savior. Who is the Lord? He's the lover of my soul. Isn't that a marvelous way that the hymn writer put it when he spoke about Jesus, lover of my soul? That's who he is. The one who loved this world. Oh, how he loves me. If you're a Christian tonight, you can say in the depths of your heart, this being your testimony, as it was the Apostle Paul, he loved me. And he gave himself for me. The great demonstration of the love of God to me is the fact that he gave himself there upon the cross of Calvary. Pharaoh, there is a Savior. Do you know that this God is a God of love, a God of compassion, a God who is long-suffering, a God who is merciful and gracious and kind, a God who was willing to bestow mercy and forgiveness upon those who turn from their sin to him. And he can save the hardest, the vilest, the deepest, blackest, chiefest sinner. Would to God that you recognize the Lord tonight as your Savior tonight. This is Jehovah. This is who he is. This is the Lord. And maybe you're asking this same question as the king. Who is the Lord? Do you not understand who he is? Do you not realize tonight who he is? It's time that you wakened up and you realize that there is a God with whom you have to do, and a God before whom you will stand one day, but a God who is able and willing to save you tonight from your sin. I want to think in the second place, looking at our text, the obligation of this king. He was obligated to obey the Lord. And so the obligation is there in the phrase, obey his voice. Now we know that he's asking it in an arrogant fashion, but nonetheless what he's saying is right. He ought to obey his voice. He ought to obey the Lord. Man is required to obey God. All men have a duty in this life. Obedience secures entrance into. We think of the Savior and his words in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You go down to verse 24 and Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Then he goes on to tell the story of the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Pharaoh, I can just imagine Moses saying this to Pharaoh. I come to you with a message from God. I come to speak words which are thus saith the Lord. Got a message from heaven for you, Pharaoh. I come with a divine commandment. And in the case of Pharaoh, it's very simple. Let my people go. The command is clear. It's simple. It's easy to understand. There was no mistaking this word from God.
And my friends, God has words of command for the sinner. He has a message in the gospel for lost souls. And that message is clear, it's unmistakable, and we can say they are the irrefutable orders of God. What does God command you tonight? What does God expect you to obey as he gives these commands? When he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God commands you to forsake your sin. The Lord Jesus in the New Testament, he said, you must be born again. That's a command from God. It's not an option. It's not something you can take it or leave it. Ye must be born again. Jesus says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, fear ye who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Remember how Paul says, God now commandeth all men to repent. He says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. He's given the commandment. The Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And my friends, God is looking for obedience. You are to obey God in these things. Are you obeying him? Because I want you to notice in the third place the admission of this king. He's admitting something here. He says, I know not the Lord. How true that was. Proud, stout-hearted Pharaoh speaks roughly and scornfully about Almighty God. I know not Jehovah. Who is this Jehovah? I don't know him. I don't care for him. I don't value him. I don't fear him. Men who do not know the Lord have very low thoughts and opinions of him. Don't we know this? Don't we hear their comments every day? Out there in the community, in society itself, on the radio, on the television, when opportunity is given to speak about anything that is spiritual, anything that is godly, anything that is to do with the Lord, to do with the Christ of God, men speak so disrespectfully about God. We know that. Why? For the same reason. They know not the Lord. Though spoken in arrogance and with disdain, yet the statement is very true, isn't it? Pharaoh did not know the Lord. He did not know him intellectually. Pharaoh did not have this intellectual knowledge of God, this knowledge of the mind. He did not know him practically. Pharaoh had no practical knowledge of God. He would come, as we shall see just in a moment, to know God in a practical way, in the demonstration of the power of God in his country. And he certainly did not know the Lord savingly. Pharaoh was never saved. He never came to trust in the Lord. His sins were never forgiven. He was never pardoned in the sight of God. He was going to get to know the Lord, however, not as his Savior, not as his friend, but he was going to know the Lord in judgment. What an awful way to begin to realize that there's a God in heaven when judgment comes. And we think about the plagues that came to the land of Egypt, the 10 plagues that came, descended upon that land one after the other. We think of the horrific final plague, the 10th one, one more God says I will send, which was going to be the death of the firstborn in every home in the land of Egypt. And death did come. From the lowest beggar in the street to the highest person sitting on the throne, including the household of Pharaoh. We think of the awful judgment that came at the Red Sea when the Egyptians entered into
that passageway and the waves and the waters and closed upon them. What an awful judgment. As God made himself known in that fashion. I'm asking you tonight, do you know the Lord? In particular, do you know him savingly, redeemingly? Are you washed in the Redeemer's blood? Because this is what counts. This is what matters. Have you got a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Because to know him, to really know him, is to be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. But as that text goes on to tell us, the righteousness of another, which is Christ. Do you know him this way? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he says, I know my sheep. But he also says that he was known. I am known of mine. My people know me. Do you know the Lord tonight? Are you one of the sheep of God? He said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We read in the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Maybe your confession tonight is the same as that of Pharaoh. In honesty of heart, as you sit in this meeting, you must say, I know not the Lord. I don't know him tonight. Preacher, I've never been saved. I'm still a stranger to grace and to God. I've never come to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know not the Lord. Is that your admission? Is that what you have to confess? As you search out your own heart tonight, do you know this God that has revealed himself in the Bible? My final point, very quickly, is the decision of this king. This king made a decision. And really it's summarized in the little phrase of our text, neither will I let Israel go. His decision was one of disobedience. To reject the message of God. He defies the Lord. He resists his word. He refuses to leave his sin. What about you tonight? Have you thought of some of these commandments that God has given to the sinner? Let the wicked forsake his way. But right up until this moment, you have shunned that commandment. You must be born again, but you refuse to be born again. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, but you ignore that command. Seek the Lord while he may be found, but you neglect it. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, but you refuse to come. You say no. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but you despise what the Lord has said there. Fear him who is able to destroy your soul, your body in hell forever, but you laugh it off. You don't believe it. Repent and believe the gospel, but you reject it, don't you? You have never turned in repentance and faith to Christ. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, but you disobey that command. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. But you oppose that command. The Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice, but you put up the barriers and the obstacles and you say no to the Lord. Alas, Jesus must lament over you as he did over the Jews in his day. When he looked at them and he said, ye will not come to me that you might have life. You have refused obstinately to come to Christ. Do you know what the penalty for disobedience is? And with this I will close. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire,
taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be punished in such a way. Everlasting destruction. Pharaoh was destroyed. You go on into the subsequent history of the act of Exodus. We see Pharaoh and his people destroyed in the Red Sea. It was not just a physical destruction that day, but he was destroyed everlastingly, for eternity. Pharaoh died in his sin, and he was lost, and he's in hell. All these centuries have passed by, and Pharaoh is still there. He's still lost. He's still in hell. And sinners will be destroyed too, as the word of God has told us tonight. If you die in your sin, you'll be destroyed forever. And so as we close the meeting, the question is therefore, what do you need to do? Maybe you're asking that question, preacher, what do I need to do? Up until this point in my life, I have not known the Lord. I certainly have not known him savingly. I might have some kind of intellectual knowledge about him. I can assent to some facts about the Lord, but I don't know him. Not in the way that the scripture defines to really know the Lord savingly. What do I need to do? You need to flee to Christ. You need to come to the Savior. You need to obey the gospel. See these commands that I mentioned tonight so briefly? You need to obey them. You need to cry for mercy. Like the man that the Savior spoke of who stood in the temple that day to pray, wouldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast, indication of his humility before God and his unworthiness before God, recognizing his undone condition, but crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He went home justified. You can go home justified tonight. You can go home redeemed and saved by the grace of God. Will you not come to him? Don't give an arrogant response to the gospel. Don't be like this man that we read about in Bible history, who went on in his sin and died without the Lord. But come to Christ. Trust him as your Savior. And do it tonight, right now, in this service. Shall we pray?